Welcome to Heel Radio, where women are talking business. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, your hostess, and we have a fantastic show for you today, where we are talking about Atlanta women in business loans and how more women can get financing for starting new businesses and growing existing businesses. My two lovely guests, who are both very successful women in business in their own right, are Kimberly West Weeks, who is the CEO of Be Connected Marketing, and also Patricia Ann Bowen, who is retired currently, but actually still heavily involved in the business community in terms of grant writing, fundraising, and consulting. Welcome, ladies, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to give our listeners just a little bit more background into your career history before we dive into the questions here. So Kimberly Weeks has been in the financial services industry for over 25 years. Her career began with Wachovia Corporate Services, and for the past 16 years, Kim has focused on providing financial services to community banks across the country. She was the president of QuickRate, and most recently, IDC Deposits. Today, Kim is CEO of Be Connected Marketing, LLC, which provides drip marketing services and sales consulting to small businesses and community banks across the United States. Very impressive background, and I see why you're now such a great resource for Atlanta Women in Business Loans.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Pat before we talk about the program specifically. Patricia Bowen is currently directing her efforts, as I said, towards fundraising and grant writing for nonprofits in the Metro Atlanta area. Pat started out as a copywriter for a multi-level marketing company that recruited women who had a few decent earning options back in the day, and she has never stopped supporting girls and women, no matter what her position and no matter what her company. She moved on to a career in high tech, eventually directing business partnerships in 14 countries with dot-coms to Fortune 50 technology companies. She earned a business coaching certification and then coached executives on her international teams and went on to form her own company, Change Agents LLC. Most recently, Pat co-founded a senior move management company called Get Ready for Tomorrow, which helps the families of senior citizens downsize and move and liquidates assets. Pat has a degree in psychology. She's a multiple entrepreneur and a certified business coach, as well as a trained grant writer, experienced fundraiser, and she currently sits on the board of three metro nonprofits, helping them to raise funds and, of course, better serve clients in need. Ladies, what successful careers you've had, and how lucky Atlanta and women in business are to have you as resources to help them build this new program. So let's backtrack a little bit and talk about, Kim, how did you first get started in your career? And give us a little bit more of, you know, the trajectory of path that you followed.
I actually started at Wachovia, and it's interesting you bring this up because I just had lunch with the woman who hired me last week. I started there in July, it'll be 25 years ago, and I spent 9 years there, and I worked in treasury services and called on the large corporate market, traveled the country, and really had a lot of fun on the sales side of it. And what was interesting is that through my career, Marge remained my mentor while she was not necessarily my boss at that time. And she encouraged me to kind of branch out and said, you know, I see a lot of sales skills in you. So I made the choice to leave Wachovia and I joined a company called QuickRate. And the reason that was attractive to me was that it was owned by a woman, Lori Scott Massalia. And she was, you know, they were just getting started and they had not had a lot of exposure in the bank market, and her business, the target market was both banks and credit unions.
Okay.
So I was the first person that she hired and from the banking industry.
So you got to really see the growth of the company being employee number one.
We did. Well, and I wasn't really employee number one, but I was the first banker. She'd had a group of people working for her, and my initiative was to figure out the bank market. And when we started there, we had about 160 banks. And when I left there to move on to IDC, we had over 1,600. And through that initiative, we had a great team of people that produced a lot of results, but we learned a lot of lessons. but we developed that company into a nationally recognized company in that financial services niche. And it's still fully operable today. Lori has sold the company, and then I moved on and went to work for IDC Deposits.
Congratulations. Thank you. Great story. Now, Pat, how about you? How did you get started in your career?
Well, mine was a little more by force, I think. I was a single mom with four little boys, and I had to find a way to make some money. So I bit the bullet and got a few part-time jobs and decided to go back to school full-time. And I did that, and that was very challenging, but I had a lot of help from my family and my friends, and went on to, as you said in the introduction, started out as a copywriter, became a project manager, and got into technical work, went to work for IBM, and just on and on and on, you know, went from one thing to another, got involved in international business partnerships, which was very exciting, and, you know, one thing led to another.
Well, I always find it fascinating to hear how, you know, it all began, as well as what happened after it all began. And you both have such fascinating stories. So let's talk now about Atlanta Women in Business Loans. What does Atlanta Women in Business Loans do?
Well, let me back up a little. Atlanta Women in Business has been a women's business group. Next year, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary in Atlanta. So we've been around for quite some time. And the group was founded by Leah Serrano.
And Leah was one of my first guests on
okay.
a show long, long time ago.
All right, well,
and
then
she
you know
has
what it
such a respected reputation around Atlanta and has done so much for helping Atlanta women in business.
She has very much, as well as she had also founded an international business group as well. So she's great at bringing people together and helping them network. So that's a little background on Atlanta Women in Business. And Leah was thinking about a year or so ago, how could we differentiate ourselves from the many, many very good women's groups that are here in Atlanta? And you know, we started talking about what do women need, what's going to make them come together for some more advanced reasons. And we decided to go into microfinance, not micro down to the level, you know, of a Kiva or a small group like that, but to help women who were either starting out or wanted to take that next step in growing their business. So we're still in the formation stages. We're together as a group. Our board is growing. We have a contributory board putting in the initial funding, and we also have a loan committee now putting together the loan criteria. And we've put up our website, and we're beginning to take loan applications. The rest of it is going to be fundraising. That's one of the things I'm doing now, putting together an event. We've just secured a venue. We'll be having an art auction in October at Theater in the Square in Marietta on October 15th. And we hope that will really launch us, get us off the ground with some funding. And, you know, as soon as we get that initial seed money, my job, as my business card said, is going to be going out and getting some grant money for us.
Okay. And Kim, what got you interested in this endeavor as you saw these things come together?
Well, it's interesting because I was introduced to Pat through a colleague of my husband's, and he has his own business and through medical connections, whatever. And I reached out to Pat. I was given her name and just said that this organization was looking to put together a board, and that because I came from the financial industry, that might be interesting to them. I've also been involved in charities in the past as well, but on some other boards. So I'm also looking for ways to give back. So I actively reached out to Pat, and we spoke, and was very interested in what they were doing. And so when I joined, I was still an employee of IDC with no intention really of branching out, but through the energy in that room and through the organization and being exposed to these businesswomen, I, along with coming in and helping with the Atlanta Women in Business and Loans, which I believe this is a great program, it also allowed me to ironically get the courage to launch a business idea that I've had for quite some time with a business partner. So it's kind of been a win-win for me, and I'm very excited about getting started and working and doing the fundraising. I've started my own little personal fundraising campaign myself just this past weekend for Atlanta Women in Business Loans.
Nice. Well, it is amazing how when we reach out to help other people, we often end up helping ourselves by filling bigger shoes and gaining courage in the process. Is financing a big issue for women that are starting businesses?
Well, financing is a big issue for anyone starting a business, especially now. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know that banks are holding on to their money right now, and especially startups. I mean, most startups fund themselves with credit cards and family loans and things of that nature. And I've just begun to do some research because I have to start getting ready to apply for some grants. And I've been going down to the Foundation Center in Atlanta, which is a nationwide group that helps people research and get in touch with foundations. And obviously I've been researching foundations that give to women, and very, very little of the money given to women goes for business development. It's primarily for health and human services and legal situations and various other things. But the latest year I was able to find was, I think it was 2007, about $1.2 billion was given out in grants for women, and 2.7% of that money went to business development. So that's peanuts.
That's it. Less than 3%.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's...
Of $1.2 billion.
Yeah, $1.2 billion, you know. And when you look at the various places women can get money, you know, there just aren't that many. And very often, you don't need a whole lot, you know. And a bank doesn't want to entertain loans for $5,000 or $10,000. Typically, for a loan that small, you would go to a finance company that's going to charge you a lot of interest, you know, things of that nature. So we thought it would be nice to have a place to go where the rates would be reasonable. We have a lot of entrepreneurial people on our board and our loan committee, so we understand the situations. We understand how to evaluate whether people are credible and fundable. So,
okay. Now, what do you have a particular philosophy about business, or a motto, mantra type of thing that encapsulates kind of the sentiment behind this initiative, or also, you know, your own personal philosophy?
Well, I think for Atlanta Women in Business, it's pretty much been women helping women. You know, the Atlanta Women in Business motto from a few years ago: if women don't help women, who will? So, but I think my own personal one, just because so many people have helped me over the years, and you just can't pay back to all the people who have helped you out. Mine is to pay it forward. So I'd like to pay forward to some entrepreneurial women in Metro Atlanta and hopefully get them launched.
I like the sound of that. What about you, Kim? What's your feeling on that?
Now, I would echo a lot of what Pat said as well. And, you know, I've been very fortunate. I have a very strong mother. I had a very strong grandmother. I've worked with phenomenal female bosses. I've just been very, very blessed. And all of them, in their way, all of them give back in various ways. And so I've been encouraged really since I was young to, you know, always, as you say, pay it forward and do something in return. And so my interest is absolutely, I am in the banking industry. I understand it. And I know how hard it is just to get loans. And I've had a lot of exposure to that. So, but one thing that makes me very comfortable is that we do have the parameters in place to emphasize that we are looking at credit worthy. We're making sure we're partnering with responsible citizens who we believe that can repay the money.
Right.
That builds self-esteem. That kind of goes along with that whole, you know, you want to position them not only to succeed, but to get the confidence to keep moving forward.
Right. So once someone starts down the path of the application process, your loan committee is looking seriously at the business itself, the credit worthiness of the person,
right,
other factors to evaluate if this is going to be a good loan.
Right. And the skills of the person as well. Will they be able to build this business? Is that in their makeup? And do they need some support? I mean, we've been going around rallying, you know, various means of support for people as well, you know, where they can take classes or get involved in groups, you know, things of that nature to help them out.
So what's it been like to take on this leadership role of this program? And what kind of reaction are you getting from people?
It's a lot of fun. And every time I'm in a group and I talk about it, there are always one or two women who come up to me afterward and say, tell me when you're ready. Tell me when I can apply for a loan. So I can tell them now that we have the loan application up on the website, that come out and apply.
Do you find that women are becoming more entrepreneurial these days and more interested in either making entrepreneurship their full-time job or starting a part-time business while they're fully employed?
A lot of the women that I'm around are entrepreneurial, and I don't know if that's by accident or by choice.
But I think we flock together.
Right. I guess like attracts like.
Exactly. So for me, you know, when I talk about this to the women, of course, they are also very interested, and I will be calling them on coming to the our art auction and participating in some of the things that we'll be doing.
Now, a lot of times when women start a business, it is linked very closely to a dream of theirs or something they feel is like a personal mission or passion. But it's also very important to understand the dollars and cents and the money aspect of running a business. How did you guys learn about money and about business?
For me, again, I grew up with a very strong mother who really taught us savings and making a lot of common sense decisions from the beginning. Did I always follow those things perfectly? No. But when I did veer off that path and made a mistake, I was able to get back on track. So, you know, for me, I just think it's just being, I've just been blessed to have had a lot of lessons brought to me and continue to just make good decisions and try to be responsible.
So some good mentors and teachers along the way.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, we sometimes lessons we all have to learn the hard way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Absolutely. Just being aware of when we're learning one of those lessons and taking a corrective course of action.
Right.
What about you, Pat?
Well, I think I learned early on that money is a means. It's not really an end. And I was schooled by some good early mentors telling me that if I wanted to be successful, I had to help others be successful, and that would make me successful. So I think it bred into me the need to work with other people, you know, to work in teamwork and so forth. And that certainly served me well in my career when I was doing international business partnerships, people working together across cultures, across age groups, across different kinds of product lines and so forth. So I think it served me well all along to help others be successful, and I get a great deal of satisfaction out of that.
Well, it sounds like you're both involved in being mentors and advisors to others, and you've also been influenced heavily by having mentors and advisors
very
along
much
your own path. Tell us a little bit about some of these people and some of the things that they were able to help you with.
Well, for me right now, I have surrounded myself definitely by women who I believe are smarter, more successful, you know, people that I can gravitate to and learn from. So while we don't have a board of directors, so to speak, for Be Connected, Barb and I have both, my business partner, we've surrounded ourselves with a group of women. And I was just telling Pat about one earlier, and it's a woman who's also in business, has been very successful in the financial industry. So for me, I reach out, I seek out people. If I meet a person in the room and I connect with them, I have no problems going up and saying, well, will you help me? And I think you have to be able to do that.
That's great advice.
Very true. Very true. I think one thing I learned early on was that I really could do it all, but I couldn't do it all at once, and I had to get help for the various steps along the way. And I think you really do have to be willing to ask for help, not be too proud, but to know what you want to go after and to ask for it in a way that's not going to make you behold and not going to make you have to sell out parts of your dream. You know, it's kind of a fine line, but I've certainly had a lot of help in a lot of different ways, people giving me opportunities who probably saw things in me that I didn't even see in myself and help me to grow with added responsibilities and so forth. So, it was good.
So when you think of your customers or, you know, customers that you've had in the past or employees, as well as, you know, your friends and your family members, how do you think they would describe you? I like to hear how people think other people in their life would describe them.
You can go ahead.
Some people would say I'm driven, probably.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it could be. Hyperactive, you know, even now, as you said, I'm quote unquote retired. This is what retirement looks like for me. It's, you know, it's working on three nonprofit boards and doing all kinds of things for them that, you know, that I've done in the past. But yeah, I think they would say that I'm pretty driven.
Kim, what about you?
For me, the same. I'm extremely passionate. And when I get behind something and I believe in it, I go for it. And the other thing is that they would say that I walk fast.
Me too.
Like you've got somewhere important I got to go.
It's like, don't get in my way. I got places to be.
Women that have a mission. I like that. Now, it hasn't always been easy. I'm sure you've both experienced challenges and difficulties along the way. What do you think's been one of the more difficult challenges, and how did you overcome it?
Well, I think early on for me, the biggest challenges were having a family. I mean, I have four sons, and as I said, I was a single mom, and balancing all of that was always a challenge. But I had a good family, and I have good children. They were just very, very good at helping me out. You know, we all helped each other out as a family. And I think that was the biggest challenge early on. And I really sympathize and empathize, you know, with families today. You know, when I see the moms taking the babies bundled up in the morning, you know, out to daycare. And you know, it's hard. It's hard balancing that and still holding on to your dream and wanting to get ahead. But we can do it. You know, I've done it, and I see a lot of people doing it today, and I give them a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that that's becoming more and more possible, but right. You need the support of the support structure as well as strong family,
right.
Friends, all of that.
And it's not all about career. I mean, it's about family, too.
So, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for me, the biggest challenge, I think, for me, I don't have children, so I don't have that. So I think sometimes it's just maintaining the balance, because it's my husband's also an entrepreneur. So for us, it's very easy. We have home offices, and we'll both go lock down and work. And you know, I don't work. I genuinely love what I do. I've loved what I've done for the past 16 years. So for me, because I am so passionate, it's hard to turn off that engine sometimes and just try to gear down. So my way of balancing that is I belong to a group called Get Fit. I run marathons. It's also owned by a woman.
Wow.
You know, I scuba dive. My husband and I travel quite a bit. But, you know, I think for me, if I look at the business challenge, you know, I've had to deal with some angry bosses in my career. And I learned in those events, while they were painful, what not to do. And so I think, you know, for me, treating people with respect and getting your team to get behind you and to rally through, it can't always be easy. If I'm not learning, if things aren't hard. So, you know, I just try to find outlets to get that energy out of me appropriately.
Right. It sounds like balance is, it's an ongoing challenge for everyone to live a full, well-rounded life. So let's talk about the flip side now. We've talked about challenge. What about your greatest accomplishment? You've both had such successful careers, and they've included so many accomplishments. Is there a particular one that you would look at and say, that was the thing I was most proud of, and that's how I got it?
Oh, I don't know what I'd say. I'd be most proud of outside of my family. My children are very successful and have wonderful families, but I think one of the things I enjoyed the most, and I'm glad I was able to achieve, was to be able to do a lot of international travel and to meet people from all over the world. It was very, very interesting, and I wish everyone could do it. You know, I encourage my children to travel and everyone I know. I mean, get out of the country and don't just go on a tour. Go and meet people and stay with people and get to know them, and we're all people, all the same.
What a wonderful experience to be able to have. Is there something that, you know, what did you look at and reflect on as being learned through learning, you know, learning about all those different cultures and meeting?
Oh, how much we have in common, certainly. I mean, you look at conditions in the world today and it just, you know, it comes back to me again and again. If only we could get to know each other better, we'd have a much more peaceful world.
That's really neat. Now, Kim, what about you in terms of professional and personal accomplishments?
On the personal, definitely is that I've been married 25 years. We just celebrated in December, and
congratulations.
You know, thank you. And you know, we I'm married to my partner and my best friend. So it's still not always easy, but I feel very grateful about that. And then the other thing for me is that I've also surrounded myself with a lot of international friends. Growing up, my folks were involved. My stepfather was involved with the Rotary Club, and we started off hosting exchange students. So this was ingrained for me from the beginning. You know, I have friends from the Netherlands. One of my best girlfriends is from Germany. We also travel internationally. Mm-hmm. To me, it keeps me humble. It makes me feel so incredibly grateful for where I live and living where I do. But the education that you get from that, and I'd like to believe I can bring that into my work, and I feel very blessed in my career. If you would have asked me in high school if this would have been my path, I think I would have told you, I think I'm going to sell something, but I don't, other than that, I'm not really sure. So I just have a lot of blessings on the career side.
Well, you've worked very hard, I'm sure, to get where you are as well. So that brings me to the question of motivation or inspiration. In order to have the energy to do so much, you've got to have something kind of motivating you or inspiring you along the way. What do you think is your biggest inspiration?
Oh, again, I'd go back to my family. I just wanted to give them everything that I possibly could, and not just materially, but wanted them to have nice lives where that, I think as Kim said, you know, it doesn't have to be easy. You learn when times are hard, and we had hard times as a family, but I think we came through it very close, and I think that's kept me motivated. It becomes a habit. You know, if you start off early on caring about other people and also caring about yourself. I've always felt, you know, if you're not in good health, if you're not in a good frame of mind, you're not going to be in good shape to help other people either. So I try very hard to stay fit, exercise program, you know, stay in touch with the things that matter to me a lot.
That's neat. What about you, Kim?
I think for me, my biggest motivation was, you know, I was just encouraged, and again, I'm very grateful for that from when I grew up. Just, you know, my mom always said, do the best you can. You're no better, you're no less, you're equal. So just do the best that you can, and I've never walked away from that. And, you know, I'm very in touch with helping other people. My folks had a small business in Ohio where I grew up for 22 years, so I know what it's like to have a family that owns their own business. So while I worked for these other entrepreneurs that I've worked with, I always treated it like my own. You know, I've always very respectful. I'm extremely trustworthy. And those are the things. It's just, at the end of the day, I just want to sleep well at night. I want to treat people respectfully. You know, it's, as we've said, it's not about money. It's just really about making sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And like my mother says, when the rubber hits the road, you know, you put your head down, you do your job, you do what you signed up to do, you say what you did, you do what you say you're going to do. The very basic things that we get.
You've both had a great foundation laid early on in life, and some of those, you know, fundamental lessons kind of drilled in from an early age. Is there anything that you wish you had known earlier in your life or earlier in your career that you can now look back and say, man, I wish I had known that?
Well, I think when I was younger, a lot of people told me that I couldn't do things, you know, back in the days when girls had to be nice little girls and so forth. And I was kind of a rebel. So, I mean, tell me I can't do something and I'm just doubly motivated to do it. And I think that I learned that I could do just about anything that I wanted to do, that I set out to do. So it was a good feeling. It was a revelation and, you know, surprised my parents, surprised a lot of people, the things that I was able to accomplish in my life and surprised myself to some extent.
It's an extraordinary revelation and one that probably now turns around, inspires a lot of other people when they look at you and what you've been able to do and say, hey, maybe I can do anything too. What about you, Kim?
You know, for me, I've learned early on that what gets written down for me is what gets done. And I have a grease board in the garage. My husband and I both do. And I have my goal. Mm-hmm. I call him with my goals. Trip has his. And then we have our joint goals. And I'll use the marathon as an analogy. I knew I wanted to run one by the time I was 50. Well, I'm 48 now, and at 46 years old, my stepfather had some medical complications, and I had to go to an ICU at Cleveland Clinic, which I had never been exposed to that. And I saw a lot of health people with that lifestyle choices impacted their health. I walked out of there and I said, okay, it's time to do the marathon. And so I signed up and I ran it. But what was interesting is I bought a book. I wrote the schedule in my calendar because what gets written down is what gets done. But the whole time I ran that marathon, my goal was to finish and not get hurt, which I did both. And this was New York. But the whole time I was running, I kept thinking, I could be doing this faster, but I don't know how. So I came back, and 2 days later, I found Get Fit and said, I'm going to find people who will teach me. So it's the same thing. I've not really ever been told, don't try. You know, just keep, just if you got it, if I write it down, it'll get done.
That's very inspiring. And it's amazing how simple things like that, simple truths that you learn about the way the world works and the way you work mm-hmm. can really help you accomplish so much more in your life. So what do you both see on the horizon in terms of the industry and women in business, and specifically as it has to do with lending? What's coming for this segment, and what's possible for these women that are just starting out these small businesses?
Well, we'd like to be a part of some women's business success here in Metro Atlanta. We'd like to build up our own bank, you know, in terms of being able to lend. This is our first year. We've set a goal next year. We would like to lend out $50,000. We'd like to do probably 10 to 15 this year as a startup. But as far as the industry in general, I don't know. I mean, the whole economic situation in this country and in the world is so uncertain today that and certainly I'm not a finance person, so I wouldn't be a pundit there. But I think with Atlanta Women and Business behind Atlanta Women and Business Loans, helping us to raise funds through our contacts and through the contacts Kim has in the banking community and Leah has, you know, and the other board members that we have, I feel very good about our ability to raise money and to help creditable people realize some of their business dreams. And everything I know and everything I read says when you help women build a business, you're helping the whole community, because women are very community-minded, family-minded. And so giving something to them is really expanding and leveraging that investment in all kinds of ways.
Right. It's good for the larger social framework right. that benefits everyone.
Right.
What about you, Kim? What do you see on the horizon?
You know, I talk to a lot of banking experts and a couple in particular. And I mean, I think the kind of common theme is they expect, you know, it's going to be a couple more years of just kind of weathering the storm, if you will. And things are going to be relatively flat. You know, my thing is though, even when we get to the other side of this, will it really ever go back to the way it was? You know, I think there'll probably be some change there. I think what was normal then will not be normal in the future. So I just believe this is it's a great time, ironically, I think, to be doing what we're doing with Get Women in, or Atlanta Women in Business and Loans, just because of what's going on in the banking environment, it's tougher and tougher. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that want to do these things and don't know where to go. And the other thing with the Atlanta Women in Business Group is there's just so many resources. And that's what I would like to also emphasize, is that while, yes, we want to partner with these women and provide the loans, is that, you know, having them involved with the group, you are instantly provided with just contacts and resources that women help women. And we
more
want
than
to
money.
Succeed.
It's more than money.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. And that's what mm-hmm. it takes to build a successful business. Mm-hmm. Money is a beginning and
a means.
You know, necessary,
right.
but those relationships and the resources and the connections
yeah.
and the mentors and advisors
right.
all are what actually enables it to be possible. Well, we're almost out of time, ladies, and I want to make sure that we get a chic tip out of each of you. So this is our signature segment at the end of the show, where each of our guests shares one signature tip of theirs that they'd like to pass on to the younger generation, perhaps, or people that aspire to achieve some of the things they've done. So what's a chic tip you'd like to share with us today?
I will go with that one. I've thought about this. And for me, it's kindness and courtesy. I think that we are in such an electronic world, and a lot of that's a big part of my business. But at the end of the day, you know, a handwritten thank you card, you know, a handwritten note, I'm thinking of you. I think that we're in such an electronic environment that sometimes we forget to just be kind and courteous to whether it be men or women or whomever. So I just like to remember the etiquette sometimes that I think we forget.
That's a classic. Excellent. Mm-hmm. What about you, Pat? Chic tip.
I have to go back to what I said before, that I think everybody should sit back and think of all the help that they've gotten from other people in their lives, in their careers, in school, and sports and other things, and just pay it forward, because we can't thank all those people who, I mean, we can thank some of them, but you just can't give back to them in kind what they've given to you, and a lot of people out there need help, so pay it forward.
That's a wonderful token of advice. Well, I want to make sure our listeners know how to find more about Atlanta Women in Business and Atlanta Women in Business Loans. So what are the websites where they can go to?
AtlantaWomenAndBusinessLoans.com. And there is our loan application on there.
All right. I'm excited to see more women-owned companies start taking advantage of this fantastic program. And I thank you both ladies for coming on today and sharing all this great information with us.
Well, thanks for helping us get the word out.
Yes, thank you very much.
My pleasure. And thank you all for tuning in. And we will talk to you next week here on the Heel to Heel Show. Until that time, wishing you all chic success.